Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Leopard Carpet with Lady Flava. My special guest today is Pacific Northwest recording artist, activist, and entrepreneur, Mr. Cheyenne Salah. And I'm so very excited about having him on the show today. We did try this about a week ago or so, and it just did not work. You know, and I'm almost thinking that it was meant to happen that way, because this past week I had the opportunity to see Cheyenne and his band performed live, and it was absolutely amazing. You know, listening to his sound on track and CD is great, but you know what? Seeing him perform with his band in person takes it to a whole new level. So I want to welcome my special guest today, Cheyenne Salah. Welcome to the show, Cheyenne.
Thank you. Thank you. It's an honor to be here. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you also. You know, we tried this a week ago, Cheyenne, and it didn't work, you know, but you know what? After seeing you perform the other night, I think that it was like meant for it to not work at that time, because now I can actually, you know, not only talk about, you know, your sound and all the things that, you know, you are doing outside of just the music. You know, I had that opportunity to experience you in person, and you know what? You're fire. You and your band, you know, the Republic of Sound, are absolutely amazing. And, you know, so again, I think it just wasn't meant to take place, you know, the last time, and today it was meant to. So, you know, I'm excited about having you on the show today and to be able to talk about you, your band, the Brave Foundation, you know, your album, and you know, your history in this industry, the music industry, and, you know, what you plan, you know, on coming up here in the future, you know, for yourself and for your foundation. So why don't we just start with, you know, how did you get involved as an artist and in this industry?
Wow. Well, I guess, you know, I would be, I'd be a fool to not interject my upbringing as, like, you know, the immediate start. You know, I was fortunate enough to be raised in a household that was very musically rich. And through that, you know, all of our spare time, when I say our, meaning me and my brothers, a lot of it was spent just digesting music in different art forms and looking at those old classic record covers with the great artwork of, you know, the albums from the 50s, 60s, 70s. But the artwork was just amazing, and, you know, you could read lyrics and get into the lifestyle of the musicians and so on and so forth. So I was really inspired by a lot of that, and all the multi-genres that my dad was collecting in the form of those albums were really crucial for me. And then to add to that, I had a grandmother who was very active in the arts and who was putting on plays and productions and so on and so forth. So I got into the bite into the performance game really early as a kid. It was just something very natural that I did alongside sports. But I really didn't come across anything, you know, professional or industry-wise until I met a gentleman by the name of Stan Taylor when I was on summer break from college. And he had a small independent outfit. And, you know, truthfully, Flava, I was just in a position where I had never seen an African-American male, you know, with a studio and a label, and he was really passionate. He was a pastor as well, really passionate about the community. And he was taking in us knuckleheads, you know, kind of doing nothing. We go into his basement, we get a chance to record and, you know, just exercise our musical talents and gifts. And it was just an honor and a blessing to have that kind of tutelage. And he kind of opened me up as an entrepreneur and an artist at the same time, which was intriguing for me. You know, I was raised an athlete, so I understand scheme and strategy and preparation very, very well. So when I started to look at business, it was like, wow, this is very interesting. And that was the first bug that kind of bit me. But here was a guy who opened up his home. You know, he was a reformed gangster from the Third Ward down there in the bottom of Texas. And, you know, just a real cool cat, real loving man. And he showed us, when I say us, there was probably about 15 of us that used to be down there and just working and honing our skills and competing against each other. That was like my crack in the door. And then once that happened, it was like, that's it. I really knew what I wanted to do. I kind of, you know, I toyed around with some other things here and there. I stayed in school and so on and so forth and kept playing college ball for a while. But before long, I was, you know, moving down to Los Angeles, California, and started my career.
All right. So that's a great story, Cheyenne. You know, I didn't know all of that. So that's a great story. So then, in a sense, that kind of opens up, you know, I think me asking you about the Brave Foundation, because I would imagine that from that experience with Stan Taylor, that kind of opened up your ideal and dream to build the Brave Foundation and working with youth and creativity and just building community and all of that.
Absolutely. It was one of those things where I'd always, throughout my entire life, I consider myself a spiritual man first, so everything always played second to what I was spiritually going through. What I quickly realized in my life was that everything was kind of relative. It was like, you know, as I was growing up, I had lots of struggles and troubles, and I left home 15, 16 years old, and I got a chance to live and experience other households and see what was, you know, kind of out there. At the time, I thought it was just all struggle. I didn't realize that it was really like the hand of the Creator walking me through and showing me aspects of life that I really needed to see. But I think Stan was just part of the chain that I was already experiencing. And when it came to designing Brave New World as a construct, I didn't know how I was going to do this. I just knew that there was an era that I think I was going to belong to. I knew I could feel it. There'd be this new wave of artistry and authenticity as a spiritual person, you know, delivering music to people. And I wanted to be on the forefront of that. I never really felt like a part of the industry from the standard side of it. I looked at the industry from its brick and mortar, like who pioneered it. I want to learn about them. Who started Stax? Who started, you know, House of Blues? Who started blah, blah, blah? And I kind of began to find my way around all these things. And the similarity that I found that led to the Brave Foundation was that all these individuals were just like me. They were all people that were searching for a new comfort in life, a new thing for life to behold, if you would. And they were willing to, you know, put it out there and take the risk necessary in order to build these things that we're able to, you know, basically call day-to-day necessities now. But I got into that, and I got into it from the science world to the musician and activism world. And I looked at that, and I said, I have to do something where I can take this experience and foster the youth. And there's some kind of a program where I can get this done. So initially, it was just Brave New World as a for-profit entity, and I was just constantly doing outreach, not really understanding what a foundation would actually do for me. So after many years of that, I felt that I had the experience and the wherewithal. I had been in, you know, a couple of hundred schools and colleges by that time and just knew that it was time for me to start a foundation. And if I was going to do it, I wanted it to be one that people didn't have to question if the deliverables were going to really be real. It was like, okay, if we receive a donation, we're going to really be out there in the community enhancing lives of kids, giving them all the goods, all the truth that we could possibly, you know, find, and to do it from real people that have actually gone through the experience of pioneering for themselves so that, you know, that relativity would be there for them as it was for me. So I just tried to mimic what I got blessed to experience throughout my life. And I think, you know, that's what the Brave Foundation was about. And yeah, that I think that a lot of its initial drive came from those early days with Stan Taylor.
Right. You know, I appreciate what it is that, you know, you are trying to do, not only as an artist and taking it to the next level, because it's very clear now that I've had the opportunity to see you perform in person that, you know, you've got a solid sound. You've got your own sound. I think it's very eclectic. I think it's kind of a mix between hip-hop, rock, pop, and funk, you know, and we can talk about that in a minute. But, it you know, just not only with the quality, sound, and presentation that you give as an artist, I think that what you are trying to do in building community and in working with the youth and giving back, I think that's something important. You know, and I think that, you know, that kind of plays into one of the things that I talk about as an artist cheerleader. You know, what is your responsibility when it comes to being an artist, and what is it that you want to give back? Because I think that with people, you know, stepping up and being artists, they don't really realize the power that they have, you know, and how they can influence the world, how they can influence how we think and feel, you know, about ourselves and our communities, our families, and things. And so I think that you are a great representation of that, Cheyenne. And so it's, you know, again, it's a pleasure and a privilege to be able to have you, you know, on the show with me today. And just for you know, there are tons of people in the chat room, tons of people in the chat room right now. So if there's anybody at any point that wants to call in and make a comment to Cheyenne or ask him a question, please feel free to do that. The call-in number is 347-857-1189. You know, but why don't I jump into a track? And this is one of your pieces off of your Brave New World CD, I believe, and this is Hustler.
Let's do it.
All right.
I mean, ain't nothing new under the sun, baby. I'm raised on Jimi Hendrix, Led Zeppelin, B.B. King, James Brown. And when it comes to this hip-hop, it's like, you know, if they my influence, how would they fit? Huh? You dig? No, really. You dig? Yo. Y'all can't knock the hustler. I'm about my dollar, about my skrill. That there's real, how I feel. Watch me spill liquid lyric and spit as lava. Baby's mama bring the drama, but I ain't acting, I'm just laughing. Life is sport, I'm the captain of the team, love the dreams, and my actions bring the cream. So watch the bank, to God I thank. Money stay high like stanky dank. Roasted pear lokes chilling on my brow. Blood cripple folk, they love my style. For my people, this new pimpin'. Dodge the evil, flow stay gifted. She's so low, she needs some lifting. Say the hoe, no, not this pimpin'. This is scripture without a book, boy. Tryna make cheese like Tillamook, boy. Pay attention, I know the truth hurts. Socks on my knees like Michael Cooper. I'm not a hooper, I'm a hustler. 6 foot 20 plus tall, motherfucker. Yeah, say it, baby. You know you wanna be my lady. Track, and I don't even have to come.
right, that was Hustler by Cheyenne Salah off of his Brave New World CD. I'm going to jump into another track off of this same CD, and then I do want to ask Cheyenne about the CD and about the entertainment group and record label under the same name. So this is Carpe Diem off of the Brave New World CD.
Carpe Diem. Carpe Diem. Carpe Diem. Yeah, take a picture, form it in your mind. Cheyenne walk on a narrow line, a pharaoh on the grind. Yeah, one of a kind, George Foreman in his prime. Wizard on the rhyme, gorilla with a nine. I'm a hustler, a dealer, a killer so divine. Something like when Mike had Thriller on his mind. The women love me when I drill them from behind singing.
Ice cream castles in the summertime.
Yeah, my daddy raised me right. Locker room style, Playboy mag and a pipe. The pants on sag with the flag on the right. Young cat with the khaki cuff running over the night. Be like Mike? Yeah, that's alright with me. As long as you lose the K and E, replace it with a C. Cause where I'm at is the place to be. And my code name's gone with an extra D. Come on!
Take a picture, it lasts longer, boy. Hanging on the wall, you get stronger, boy. Scream out, Carpe Diem. Close your eyes, boy, you can be a hook. Take a picture, it lasts longer, boy. Hanging on the wall, you get stronger, boy. Scream out, Carpe Diem. Close your eyes, boy, you can be a hook.
Yeah. Never will I have to front. Pass the blunt. 2-3 celeb, you thump. Whatever I want, and I don't want whatever. Just the cheddar and the light brighter, so care weather. It's pandemonium from man to woman. Hope I want them, relay my be brave slogan. That swear to any panther still roaming Oakland. Or the two tattooed on my hips is ill omens. The good kind, this is underworld hood rhyming. And I'm the half-pant, half-liking. Left hand gripping the mic, right one giving the Heisman. New school Mayan, Messiah named Cheyenne. Adonai Salah, watch me work. Flow running out my mouth like tongue talking to church. Like Alahama, Akarama, Fashulana B. What? That means I'm the baddest nigga you'll ever see. Yeah.
Take a picture, it lasts longer, boy. Hanging on the wall, you get stronger, boy. Scream out, Carpe Diem. Close your eyes, boy, you can be a hook.
Not throwback, I'm much more than that. I'm a new Houdini, I told y'all I'd be back. You just didn't recognize it cause I came back black. Getting raised on the weed flames and Daniel Jack. My pop from D.C., he ain't holding on back. Like a swole Joe Jackson with a little more scrap. And I was a young Michael, off the wall. But I kept the big nose, the skin tone and bald. Come on!
Yeah, take a picture, it lasts longer, boy. Hanging on the wall, you get stronger, boy. Scream out, Carpe Diem. Close your eyes, boy.
Not a yes man, but I am the gambling type. My family black is scrambling, man, it's night. I got that funny blood, that old native Negro. But they don't know if I'm Indian, Spanish, or Creole. Fist up symbolizing my love for my people. Or the game winning Jordan fading from the free throw. So y'all are firing compared to the rhyming. No need for A&Rs cause of this eye that's blinding.
Carpe Diem. Close your eyes, boy, you
All right, that was Carpe Diem by Cheyenne Salah off of his Brave New World album. So tell us about this album, Cheyenne, and tell us about your entertainment company.
Sure. The album that you just heard a couple of songs from is basically just a I more or less look at it like an audio flyer, you know. It was like an introduction piece. I wanted to put something together that, you know, really took the hip-hop into a more message-oriented format, but fused it with different, you know, musical ideals. You know, I wanted to really, like, stretch out on this album, and it was really, like, my first, you know, major release. I did the deal with Koch, who put that record out, and I'm very proud of it. You know, we recorded at House of Blues, prestigious studio. I wanted to make sure I was in an environment where, you know, I was really going to be reaching and being influenced to put something together that, you know, was going to gain the respect of my peers. I really wanted this album to be something people on the inside could hear the quality of the sound, the production, and so on and so forth. And it was a really cool project to get things rolling with. And the company, Brave New World, you know, I wanted to entitle the album after the mission. You know, I believe that in my organization, I always wanted the priority to remain about the message. I feel like that brings me a lot of balance, you know, in this business. For those of you that have, you know, made any money in it, there's a lot of temptation out there, a lot of things you can get into. And I think having an organization that has a name that defines the purpose, it keeps a real nice, you know, projected value that constantly is reminding me and my team of what it is we do, why we're doing it. Keeps us in a state of not abusing our blessings and our resources and so on and so forth. So it's it works that way. But also with that, it's very broad what we can do. You know, a name like Brave New World or a message like Brave New World is really just an ideal new society, you know what I mean? A new place to live, a place that promotes freedom, peace, and authenticity, and spirituality, you know, soulfulness. And we have a big agenda to, you know, establish real strong human relations and understand society in a way where we're not just feeding them music that's just about, you know, Cheyenne, but it's music that there's a relative intention attached to it, so when people hear it, they can get in it in a different kind of way. You know, it may not be necessarily, you know, the most commercial stuff you're going to hear on that album, but it will be stuff that, you know, resonates with you. So proud of both, and I think that I wanted to do an album that resembled what the company was about, and so that was kind of the goal.
Well, you know, I think that you achieved that, you know, just as I'm learning and growing, you know, to know more about you and, you know, the Brave New World and the Brave Foundation. You know, I think that you are definitely on your road, you know, the road to achieving that. But there's much more to the Brave New World. What is actually under the umbrella of the Brave New World Foundation?
That's a good question. Brave New World is, the ideal of it was to build a conglomerate that was based on the model. A lot of my mentors and a lot of people that I studied coming up in the business, when I broke into doing music, when I moved to Hollywood, you know, the music wasn't the first thing that happened for me. The first thing that happened for me was actually other aspects like modeling and acting and promoting myself and joining competitions and showcases and all these different things that I had no clue about when I moved down. When I moved down there, I thought, you know, give me the microphone, you know, give me my Tim's, my jeans, and a beanie, and I'm good. And I ended up finding out there was so much more to the game than just what I thought was going on. So I got a crash course in education on what the business was about. So I knew that in developing my own organization, I wanted to have it in a way where it could function fully with, you know, with a direction in each key component of entertainment. So marketing, we have a marketing division or a marketing company, promotions, record label, of course, as well as, you know, production and studio and so on and so forth. And so we wanted to highlight those major aspects, you know, music publishing. All these things are different components within the business that have to interrelate and integrate with each other for the purposes of pushing any kind of project. I always had the idea that I wanted to build and eventually a big company, I mean, you know, actually a mid-sized company, but to start it from scratch, start it very organic, and make sure that the intention was always at the forefront, that we were just going to make change. And the best way I knew that we could do that, given that I didn't have millions of dollars to play with, was to start within the community and begin there, begin developing relationships there with other vendors and other brands, and of course, being able to deal with the people. You know, one thing that I find very rewarding for us is in the nonprofit arm of the Brave Foundation, you know, we get the opportunity to deal with people and talk to people according to their issues. So I literally was able to take those experiences, go to the boardroom, some of these companies in the world, and basically say, I don't care what y'all saying in here. I'm out there. So if you are sitting behind a desk and you got a suit on, it's, you know, I'll give you all the praise and accolade in the world, but by the time you get there, you're done interacting with people. And people are still out there left going through changes and held subject to whatever products and services you're delivering to them. And I just felt that it was going to be a key for me as a businessman, as an artist, and as an activist to always make sure that I had some dealing with the people as life was changing and people would go through, you know, evolving and adapting to what have you. I could go deliver that process back to the boardroom from the standpoint of activism versus business. And so it kind of gave me a real unique advantage, if you would, in negotiating, because I skip all the, you know, dotted I's and crossed T's. I mean, that side of it has to get done as well. But I basically come in with a very reasonable and practical approach that just says, look, if we're going to talk about consumerism, we're going to talk about the people, we have to deliver products that resonate with their current condition. And we have to be doing things that are, you know, from that standpoint, creating from right there, from real grass root level. And so obviously, you know, corporate America tends to lose its way in that regard. It has its own ego. And at the end of the day, people need to know that those are just individuals too, caught up in their own ways and their own lifestyles. And I think that the people at large get lost in the sauce of that whole game. And so Brave New World is kind of a bridge in between the two. For one, we serve as activists, and for the other, we kind of are cleaning up the image. And you know, you can still be attached to big brands and do quality things, and still love your people and deliver solid products to them. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
I agree with that, and I see that you're working hard, you know, to achieving that. I believe that you, you know, are going to achieve that because I think that you're going about it the right way. Personally, I love grassroots, Cheyenne. I, you know, as what I do here with Flavor News and Flavor News Radio, you know, I'm a big supporter of the underground independent artists, so I always try to find ways, you know, within my own means to be able to shine the light on them, just as, you know, doing the leopard carpet and you know, other things that I do, or coming out to, you know, Road to South By, you know, and just being a
right.
witness to that, that, you know, I think that there's so many ways of going out there and about, you know, being able to shine the light, being able to build community within this industry, because I think that's what it's lacking so much. Like you said, you know, when you get up to the point of being mainstream, some people forget. And I think that what
yeah.
you're creating as you take those steps to move up is being able to create that community, and that community that you can take with you. And just from the people that I've met in your camp, I think they're great people. I think they have a great spirit. It's very clear, you know, that you've got an amazing spirit, you know, yourself. And so, you know, I think you are definitely, you know, on your way to doing that. And I look forward to being a witness to that. Josh Man Rock from Lynx Records is in the chat room, and he is giving out much love to you. And I do have a caller on the line that wants to say something to you. Delon from Houston, Texas, you are on the air with Cheyenne Salah.
What's good, people?
What's up with you, young man?
Oh, you're very kind. You call me a young man. Thank you. hey, man, I really dig what you're doing. I've just been sitting back just listening to, you know, talking about what you're about. And, you know, I dig your music. I'm a fan. And, you know, I really respect that, man, that you're coming from, you know, a good place, you know, on what you're trying to do.
I appreciate that. I think that what's most important to me is just, you know, recognizing that people like you exist and that, you know, everybody wants something good in life. Everybody wants to better their situation. And unfortunately, you get to spaces in the music business or any industry for that matter. You can be working for a grocery store. You start climbing the ladder. You start looking at the last step of the ladder and you forget the steps, you know, that you took to get up there. And it's very natural, you know, and easy to do that. And I kind of try to live my life in a way where I'm constantly remembering every step that I took and the people that were there along the way and try to find a way to put that into music and put that into a message to the people. For me personally, I feel like I'm, you know, it's just kind of what I'm born to do. I'm influenced by the greats, from MLK to KRS-One, to the great innovators who didn't speak, who used their hands, like Jimi Hendrix and Stevie Ray Vaughan and different people like that. So I find a way to have that influence in this. I really appreciate you taking a look at what I got going on, man. I think that's a testament to your own character, so thank you.
Right. Well, as an artist, as an artist myself, independent artist, you know, I definitely respect, you know, your hustle, you know what I mean? And thanks to people like Lady Flavor, you know, who give us a voice, you know, that's how I found out about what you're doing, you know. So, you know, like I said, I really respect everything you're about and what you're doing.
Thank you, man. And you know, much success to you. I think you just hit the key, you know, what Lady Flavor's doing. I just got a chance to meet her at a Road to South By event. And like she was saying earlier in the show, we were trying to do this interview over a week ago. I was in Los Angeles, and it just wasn't happening. And it was just one of those things that, you know, is very relative to my life. And I think everybody's kind of interconnected. And everything's about placing and timing. Whether you consider that to be a divine thing or just something that, you know, naturally occurs, either way it goes, it is what it is. And I think that those links, that's what we got to keep our focus on. So what Flavor's doing and what you're doing, what I'm doing, and Lord knows the hundreds of others that may be chiming in and be interwoven into this, I think if we can come to a space where everybody can recognize each other's role, it's going to make it a lot easier to get things done.
Right.
Definitely. And DeLon, thank you so much for calling in, because, you know, I know that I had, you know, I let you know about the interview that I was doing with Cheyenne, and I just thought that he would, you know, be somebody that you would be interested in hearing his story. You know, he is an independent artist. He is a, you know, a grassroots, individual and artist and activist and entrepreneur up here in the Pacific Northwest. But he has done some things, you know, that's kind of taken him above and beyond some of the independent artists and underground artists, you know, that are out there. And so I just wanted him to be able to share his story. And I wanted you to really, you know, be able to have that opportunity to hear him and hear his flavor. And, you know, and I'm appreciative that you called in, you know, to talk with Cheyenne today.
Right. Hey, all blessings, brother. You know what I mean? You know, it's an inspirational story. I mean, I every time I call in a Lady Flavor show, I feel like I need to move to Seattle or something. everything's popping
you know
off
what, you,
up there.
you do need to move to Seattle, DeLon. We know we'll get you on a showcase with, you know, R. Curtis and Cheyenne Salah, and, you know, shoot, we'll get you in the studio up here, and, yeah, I wish I could move all of my favorite artists up here, you know, too. to Seattle, because I just think, you know, with just now meeting Cheyenne Salah and, you know, his team and just things that are happening with Flavor News, you know, we do got it popping up here. We do.
Yeah, we do.
Well, I'm going to definitely have to visit. I mean, I have a cousin that lives there, so I might have to crash at her spot for a quick second. You know what I'm saying? You know, get up there, you know, just get the vibe of, you know. I mean, not that nothing's going down over here in Houston, because, you know, I've been putting in some work. But it sounds like, you know, a lot of things are moving and shaking up that way. So.
Well, you know, but, I think what a lot of it is, just like with what Cheyenne's doing, I think that, you know, when you're grounded and you're focused and you have a faith, that God opens the doors, you know. And I think that what's happening, you know, right now with Cheyenne and even with Flava News, Delon, is that, you know, the doors are opening and we're paying attention, you know,
right,
and stuff. And so, they're blessings all around, you know. And if there's any way that, you know, I can help you, you know, even though you're all the way down there in Houston, you know I'm on your team and I'm in your corner. So, you know, keep the faith, because you have an absolutely amazing pure voice. I've never heard anybody sing, you know, like you since the days of, like, you know, Eddie Kendricks and all. So, you know, it's just like, man, just keep doing what you're doing.
Right. Well, I appreciate that.
No problem. I do have another caller on the line. And so let me bring them in right quick, Cheyenne.
Okay.
All right, caller from the 253 area code. I believe this is Josh Van Rock.
Hello. How's everybody doing?
Very good.
Yeah,
thank
you
for calling
man?
In.
What's
going
good.
On, Josh?
You're welcome. I just wanted to say hi to our guest and everybody in the chat room, Lady Flavy. You know we love you. So I have a question. I have a question for Cheyenne. You were talking about activism versus business a little earlier. Can you get a little more in depth on what is the difference, in your opinion, with activism versus business?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the best way to answer that is to say that let's remember that business fundamentally is supposed to be an ideal birthed from either an individual or a small group of people in its initial stages. It's a dream. It's something that's supposed to be usually considering community right from the gate. Whether you call it community or you call it consumers, it's supposed to have that consideration. And building a business, you know, the hope is to, yes, make money, for whatever those purposes are, but also to foster the value of a particular brand. And in its onset, business is activism from its most pure standpoint. Where it gets lost in the greed cycle and when the monetary king starts to kick in is that ego. You know, ego gets placed and it goes into a world of its own within the business structure, because business structures are designed for them to, you know, exist in and of themselves without the individual. And if you know the process of building a business, you can go down, you get your business license. It's that entity is something alive and breathing in and of itself, and it works in conjunction with the system and the fabric of America. Whereas activism, the approach is that you never lose sight of what business starts with, and that's true community, true understanding of a consumer's need. So what we end up doing in defining a difference in that is saying that, you know, an activist has the ability to stay true to the needs of the people and can go address any facet in life, whether it's business or it's, you know, whatever form of industry, and lay the plight of the people on the line, but at the same time has the ability to have the ear to listen to people, to figure out what's going on, and can implement strategy and solutions so that people's issues, you know, move into a place of being resolved. And I think business, again, I'm going to stick up for it because I do know solid business people that do have a thirst for people. They just I tell people all the time, you know, just because a person got a job, you know, fundamentally, wherever you work, you've kind of sold out. If you have a job anywhere, you're representing an organization that its founder may or may not give a damn about the community that you exist in.
Mm-hmm,
so
exactly.
That's just the truth. That's just the truth about all of us. No one can escape that because that's just what it is. But I think activism is supposed to come in and balance that out. And so when I do business, I try to remind business people of why they're in business. Who started this machine? I don't give a damn if we're talking about Disney. Let's go revisit why Walt Disney did this. And let's get back into it. I'm going to have to do business with you from an original standpoint because I don't feel good about not addressing my people, regardless of how hot I can get or how much money I can make. I like to go to bed at night knowing that, you know, I'm leaving the world in a better position when I fall asleep than it was when I was awake. And so
that's
basically
that's very cool. That's very cool. I appreciate that. You know, and I love the vision, and I love your sense of community, and you know, and wanting to help, and you know, doing things in a positive way. So that leads me to my second question: how do you balance your positive message in hip hop, which is a traditionally all about me kind of industry?
Right. One word, truth. I think, you know, whenever the truth is in play, you get the best of what reality offers. And I think for all of us, you know, when we're studying a genre of music, and I feel bad for hip-hop because as long as I've dealt with it and as many, should I say, reputable factions of hip-hop, like the Temple of Hip-Hop movement, things I've been involved with throughout the years, from Bambaataa to KRS-One, some of the guys have had more of a message-oriented business operation attached to it versus what we're fed and what's mainstream and so on and so forth. The one thing I always go back to is let's remember hip-hop is still an infant. It's still a baby. It's just 30-plus years. It just really found its face in the last 15 years. It just really entered what's quote-unquote the marketplace at large, where the world knows it at large, in the last 15, 20 years, and it's still trying to figure itself out. However, for some reason, it is the most critiqued, it is the most overanalyzed, it is the most scrutinized art form of our time. And not to say the other art forms, blues, jazz, rock and roll, all of them were in the same disposition in the prime of their run. So I think that we have to be patient with the course of hip hop because hip hop had a bedfellow with it called technology that as hip hop started to rise, so did technological advancements. And we just got showered with shit that we didn't, you know, sorry, excuse me for cussing flavor, but we got showered with, we weren't sure what this all was, you know? So for me, it was getting back into a root of a thing. You know, I said earlier in the interview how my pops was a record collector, so I wanted to remain true to that. I don't care what nobody thinks that I listened to Zeppelin as a kid, Stevie Ray Vaughan as a kid, the Beatles as a kid, the Doobie Brothers. These are white bands and white groups that my pops loved, and my pops is from D.C. He ain't missing an ounce of black. And, you know, so it's like, but how many circles can you feel confident in the hip-hop world and say, yo, I'm a fan of Zeppelin. I'm a fan of such and such or so and so, even though I can rhyme and I can come as hard as whoever. You know, what kind of dynamics was I raised with? Basically, is what I'm trying to say. And if you fail to issue to people like your truth and your reality, then it's never going to be balanced. And so I just decided to tell the truth with
my
music, how I'm feeling.
I was gonna say, just listening to what you just said, it's like we're kindred spirits, man, because as you was just talking about, like, your record collection that your father had, my mother was the one who kind of brought those type of influences into my musical life, you know. And so my father would bring home the black soul stuff, and my mother would bring home, you know, country stuff, you know, or Beatles, like you said, Wings, you know, all that type of stuff. So, and not even melds itself into my singing. Like, I was influenced by Carole King, you know, on some things in my style.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I can really relate to what you just said on that, and also on the business thing. But I had a question on that. Is okay, at the end of the day, the activism and all that is great, but where is it? How do you find your balance so that at the end of the day you still know, hey, I got to make a profit?
Right. That's when it comes down to the last fold of the game. And that is either you are good or you're not. Either your product
exactly.
Either your product is good or it's not. Because after all the warm and fuzzy and after all the outreach and interacting with people, either you're better than the other options or you're not. And that's another part of the business I teach on a lot. I tell people all the time, this music business is no different than professional sports. You can go down the street right now and you can buy a Seahawk jersey and you can buy the helmet and gloves and all kind of accessories. But if you try to get on that field, it's a wrap. You see what I'm saying? And I think that what happens in the music game is we get duped into going down to Guitar Center, getting the drum kits and the machines and the Pro Tools and blah, 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 and all of a sudden we indie and we in the game. No, you're not in the game. That there's a process and there's people that are involved that, like for the athlete, the agent has to be a part of the process. And you got to kind of buy into that a little bit. But with the indie movement, people, because there's been a few that made it without those aspects, we kind of got duped into thinking that, you know, okay, we can move through this game without dealing with the powers that
wow,
be.
You are, you know, speaking. You know what? You have just hit the nail on the head. And
yeah.
Lady Flavor, I had talked
yeah.
about this previously on your previous shows. I'm one yeah. of those people, whereas, you know, my wife got me the Pro Tools stuff, and I was like, yeah. All right, now all I got to do is make a couple of songs, throw it on iTunes or throw it on the net, and magic's going to happen. And guess what? It doesn't happen. It does not happen that way. You cannot do this by yourself. You need a team around you to do the marketing, which is the biggest part, you know.
Right.
And all that. And you really are speaking to me right now, brother. That's real talk right there. That is real talk.
Yeah, it's the truth. Again, it just goes back to the truth. One thing that helped me out with that was that I really got in, and I'm telling you, this works. Believe me when I say it. There's a line in the song that Flavor just played. The song's called Carpe Diem, and in the chorus it says, take a picture, it'll last longer, boy. Hang it on the wall, you get stronger, boy, and scream out Carpe Diem. But what that's saying is find your influence. Find out who did it before you. I don't care if it's Russell Simmons or it's Walt Disney. Put them on the wall. Make it relevant what they did. What were the steps? What was the dream? What was the vision? Because I was taught that if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. If it was good enough for Buddha, good enough for me. Good enough for Russell, good enough for me. Good enough for Lior Cohen, good enough for me. Good enough for Walt Disney, good enough for me. If I want to do something, I have to look at those that did it before me and say I have to at least adapt some of these things into
right.
what's going on. Well, how did they get this and maintain their brand and maintain their integrity? You can still keep your community in there, but you have to allow for some of the system to guide you. For some reason, we're led to thinking that Pro Tools as an entity ain't got nothing to do with the industry, and it absolutely does. Just go to a
right.
NAMM convention where all the gear is being promoted, and you'll find every A&R on the planet and every record label, and it's all the same family. So Guitar Center is the same family of Warner Brothers. It's the same family of Universal, same family of NBC. None of it is separate. So I always teach that there really is no independence. There's a codependent game that's going
right.
on. That if you really get into it, you can find independence through the codependency.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You can't escape.
Right.
You're not going to escape iTunes. You're not going to escape having to go file for your .com. You're not going to escape having to go to the manufacturer and get your stuff pressed. This is all the same family. And
right.
so
that is right on the money. That's what I've been screaming for a while, you know, because like I said, I try to tell people. I was like, you know what, I'm telling you from experience. I tried the shortcut on this stuff because I've seen so many other people, quote unquote, doing it. But I wasn't looking at their numbers. I was looking at, oh, they got some songs done. But you know, but these people aren't selling, you know, thousands of units. You know what I'm saying? They're selling maybe a couple hundred here or there. There's nothing wrong with that. But what I'm saying is, if the goal is to make a living off of music, then you cannot just go into your bedroom with Pro Tools and suddenly it's going to happen. It does not happen that way. There's a lot of steps that have to happen.
It's the truth, and if you want to dumb it down, there's a model that I use that I share with you, and I share with people in my workshops, and that is, like, if you want to make a CEO salary in the music business, like in the Northwest region, the average CEO is probably somewhere between $150,000 to $400,000 a year. Well, if you were trying to push a CD, you know, at $10 a pop, then you know you need to sell, you know, 4,000 CDs, 10,000 CDs, 15,000 CDs. You divvy that up into a true campaign. If you're going to push a CD, you need to push it for at least a year and a half. Another big problem with a lot of, you know, indie acts is that if they don't see a jump after a couple of months, then, you know, it's a wrap. I'm on to my new mixtape now, and I'm on to my new, you know, whatever. No, man, these Elvis's album from 1952 is still in stores.
Right.
It never stops. So you have to have a consciousness towards the fact that you want hang time, you want real estate in the business. So you have to be willing to make a product that has longevity in mind so you can push it for as long as you can stand. You divide that up into 12 months, you know, 10,000 units being sold, and you divvy that up, man, you're looking at, okay, I need to sell a few hundred units every month. So now I know how many shows I need to have. Now I can figure out how much I can spend here, what I'm going to make here. And before you know it, you're looking at your profit margins and everything, and the game gets really simple, and you just wanted a CEO salary. But most people they won't give themselves the practicality of the business, so they think, I'm going to get my Soulja Boy on, I'm going to put this on YouTube and put this on that, and somehow everyone's going in the world is gonna discover it, and I'm gonna be, you know, insta famous by tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
So there's many approaches to how you can have the success you want, and I think the truth of it is the average independent artist just wants to make a good living. You know what I mean? Like, you just want your house, you want your car, you want your family fed, bills paid, and you can do that if you just set a goal of saying, I just want to sell 15,000 albums this year.
Right.
That's a doable goal for anybody. That's doable.
Cheyenne, I do have
you're
another.
You're
talking
about hit you on
Facebook,
right?
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. Hit me
on Facebook. And also, Cheyenne, I just have a quick question. Can I know that as far as your radio show is goes here on AM out here in Seattle, Washington. Can the archives can be heard, though, anywhere in the United States?
Yes, you can go to CheyenneSalahShow.com, and you can hit any of the archives. I got some real good interviews with some very influential people on there.
Yeah, Dewan, I would really honestly, and I'll send you the link after the show, I would really encourage you or anybody that's listening to the show and listening to Cheyenne Salah to check out the archives of the shows. He has had some absolutely amazing, accomplished people in the industry on his shows, you know, from producers to, you know, the House of Blues, you know, people that are involved in the big industry music conventions, you know, in France, you know, to South by Southwest, you know, just valuable information can be heard on his shows every Friday. I listen to it, you know, here in Seattle, Washington at 5 p.m. And just, you know, from Booker T, you know, Jones III to, you know, again, the gentleman, I can't remember his name, Cheyenne, from the House of Blues. Just amazing information. Right. So, you know, I definitely will send you that link so you can check out the archives of his show, and it comes on every Friday. here in the Pacific Northwest. Cheyenne, I do have another caller on, and I don't know what your schedule is looking like, but it's very clear we're going to go into the archives. What will happen is once we go into the archives, it will still be streaming and recording. Just the people who are listening live will not be here, you know, be able to hear that, hear it until they come back and listen to the archives. So just let me know if you're needing to go.
I got about another 10 minutes, and I'm good.
Okay, so I have a caller from the 856, John D. Green. Your line is open.
Hey, how you doing? I feel everyone's good.
My man, John.
Hey.
All right, so Cheyenne, this is John D. Green, Sr., who is a singer-songwriter, composer, musician, and actor out of Detroit, Michigan.
Shout out to Detroit. What's happening, man?
Hey, how are you? How are you?
I'm good, so, man.
Yes, you are, brother. Yes, you are. I called with a simple question, and I may have just missed the answer due to my tardiness, so forgive that. But give us a sneak peek of the collaborations that you have to come. I know you're working your magic over there.
Absolutely. I got, on my next album, I got collaborations with Ziggy Marley I'm working with. I'm working with Daryl McDaniels, DMC, as y'all would know him. I'm working with a Bollywood legend, beautiful woman, pioneer, man. Y'all gonna love this chick. Her name is Asha Puthuli. She's like literally the founder of disco funk out of India. And man, I got MLK speeches. You know, I work with Martin Luther King's organization, the Southern Congressional Leadership Conference, and I'm going to have speeches embedded in certain songs on that project. And, it's definitely going to be an interesting collaboration of unique individuals that I feel, you know, very very good about from the standpoint that they kind of represent, you know, what I'm about and what I'm trying to accomplish. The other side of it, though, is that I believe that the collaborations also have to be tight on the studio side, like where you're at, like what's the legend behind, what's up? You know, you out there in Detroit, so it'd be like if you could go back to the old Motown house and be in that room and absorb that energy of, you know, everybody from Diana to Smokey to you name it, whoever. I'm a fiend for that. Like, I really believe in honoring those that have been there before me. And so I choose studios like the House of Blues that Flavor was just referencing. Those guys are good friends of mine, the creators of that organization. And then up here in Seattle is a great studio called London Bridge that all the big grunge bands came out of, Pearl Jam, Nirvana, Soundgarden, mm-hmm. so on and so forth. All those guys, you know, earn their licks out of London Bridge. So collaborating with the right studio is very key and crucial for me. And who's at the mixing board and all of that stuff. So it's going to be a hot project, though, man.
It sounds like it. You know, you answered that question more than thoroughly well. I appreciate it.
Let me know if you need a hook.
Will do.
Well, thank you for your time.
Appreciate
so
it,
before
man.
We go any further, I want to play just at least one or two more of Cheyenne's songs. Before we get off the air, and this is from his up-and-coming CD, which is called City of Angels, and it's called Angel.
Dear God, spare my territory. Take me right to my greatness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear not. Feeling so angelic. Nah, this ain't church, but check how I said it. Curse words hurt, but they so poetic. On the street, I'm a vet. Look at magnetic. Stingray Corvette. Coerce them for credit. Again, push. Every time I get it. Wings tatted on my back. The bling just the beginning. Right hand on my lap. God made me for women. Boy, ain't no feminine. Except how you feeling when hop on that Harley. Chopper wheel spinning with number one chick on my back like Skittishes. Wait till we ride by, empty that glove. So rebel, I fist fight the devil. A black man with a thing for heavy metal. Matter of fact, way beyond that, I'm 10, 24/7, plus a quarter past that, I'm an angel. The shadow of death, two chicks on my left, I'm an angel. I see what I want, and yes, I have attitude, she losing breath, cause I'm an angel. I can feel it in my dreams, I can do anything, baby, get on my team, I'm an angel. Women that he made. When I die, put a couple bad ones in my grave. I am fly, college educated and brave. Got a purple 4-5, back of the grip suede. 18 custom, that's how I'm made. Yeah, lips touch the ground every night when I pray. I am humble, rumble in the street all day. I'm really a playboy, I pay a different way. Next, Hugh Hefner, much darker shade. Crib in the hills, no bills, more paid. Ride to the wheels, roll off in a ditch. Picture the spare been replaced by my lips. I am wealthy, I ain't got time to be rich. Game time is magic, I'm urban this shit. Matter of fact, it's way beyond that. I'm here 24/7 plus a quarter past that. I'm an angel. In the shadow of death, two chicks on my left, I'm an angel. I see what I want, and yes, I have attitude. She losing breath, cause I'm an angel. I can feel it in my dreams, I can do anything, baby. Get on my team, I'm an angel. Make me stronger. Right about now, I'm feeling so King Kong. See me stomping through the city. Little by my shit palm. Congress in the background, fur draped on my arm. All my women are hot, never less than warm. Got honeys like bees, baby. Welcome to swarm. Reach out to the Lord, every day so strong. Spit it like the dude in that old book of Psalms. I'm an angel, Cheyenne Adonai to love. Anointed by the king of the six-pointed star. Like Marvin when he sing, what's going on? That's all I gotta say, then the women start pouring right towards them. This is my work. Constant and monster, the track is my concert. Matter of fact, way beyond that. I'm 10, 24/7, plus a quarter past that. I'm an angel. The shadow of death, two chicks on my left, I'm an angel. I see what I want, and yes, I have attitude. She losing breath, cause I'm an angel. I can feel it in my dreams, I can do anything, baby. Get on my team, I'm an angel. Ain't nothing but me, not me. Come holler at a king, I'm an angel.
All right, that was Angel by Cheyenne Salak on his City of Angels CD. So, boy, Cheyenne, the time just went by so very, very fast and just so much information given out. And just, you know, I appreciate, again, you know, you taking the time out of your busy schedule to come on the Leopard Carpet with me and, you know, taking some calls from Josh Man Rock, you know, down there in Tacoma, Washington, to DeLon in Houston, Texas, and John D. Green Sr. out of Detroit, Michigan. Gentlemen, I want to thank you so much for calling in and asking your questions and talking to Cheyenne today, too.
No problem.
Yes, we sure do appreciate him and all of his knowledge. It was a great show.
All right.
Thanks a lot, guys.
So, Cheyenne. So, Cheyenne, we're just, you know, give a shout-out and tell everybody where they can find out about more about you, the Brave Foundation, to Brave New World and the Cheyenne Salah Show Life.
Absolutely. First and foremost, let me just thank you, Flavor, for all that you're doing. You know, it's been a pleasure to be on the Leopard Carpet. You know, I mean, it's my first time, and I'm really appreciative of what you do. Got a chance to hang with you the other night at the Road to South By event at Hell's Kitchen. Flavor was out there, y'all, holding it down right there front and center. So with other reporters and journalists from around the town, and it was a real cool experience to get a chance to meet you. I have had the opportunity to work with a daughter, Rico, who's also a very gifted individual as well. So let me thank you first. And then, of course, the callers from Detroit to Tacoma to Houston, I appreciate all y'all coming in and calling. And you can all continue to stay in touch. My foundation's website is called The Brave thebravefoundation.com, just as you heard it, thebravefoundation.com. It has tons of info on what's up. If you're interested in my radio show, I kind of bring my friends on from the business that I've worked with for years and years, and merchandise. You know, we've represented from Coltrane to Jimi Hendrix to you name it. A lot of these guys are on the show. I interview them. We talk about different aspects of the game. But you can go to CheyenneSalahShow.com and check that stuff out. And then CheyenneSalah.com. You can hit me up there as well and find me on Facebook or what have you. But I truly appreciate the opportunity to be here to talk and meet you brothers as well. And I encourage y'all to continue to just, you know, keep strong and staying, you know, doing what you're doing. One of the things that we're going to be announcing soon, if you just stay up with us, I'm going to be doing some viral workshops. I'm a big believer in licensing music. You know, I got a theme song to a couple new movies coming out. The song you just heard is also a theme song to a new film called Pimp 24/7. The lead character's name happens to be Angel, as I wrote it from his perspective as it pertains to the script. And there's a lot of things I'm going to be talking about and going after those kind of things and continuing to give information. I'm a true believer in giving the truth to this business. So I appreciate all y'all. God bless y'all, all you, your families. Keep it healthy, safe, and peaceful. And Flavor, much love to you again. Thanks a bunch, and big kudos to your show.
All right. Thank you so much, Cheyenne. It's been a pleasure and an honor to have you on today. And, you know, anytime that you want to come back and you have a moment, you know, definitely just give a holler and we will make it happen. And John and Delon and Josh, thank you so much for tuning in today and, you know, again, participating in the show. You asked some great questions and, you know, Cheyenne, you know, had some great answers to your questions. So God bless, take care, and I'm going to close out the show with another track by Cheyenne Salah, which is called Love, off of his City of Angels CD. Goodbye and take care. I will be back this afternoon or this evening with the Artist Roundtable if you want to tune in. So this is, again, Cheyenne Salah with Love. Oh, excuse me, Cheyenne Salah, Love.
But it's like when it all comes down to it, the most incredible, precious thing in the world is love. It's the one thing that's missing right now. I'm about to bring it back. Mother Nature don't like nobody stepping on her toes, yeah, especially when she about to
feminine thing is serious. And they just looking for somebody with experience. Turn up the volume if you're curious and hear it like go.
Are you ready? I know you're weak.